When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and I welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. The best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Well, I just got one thing to say before we get started. Woohoo! I am so glad to be back and that I could get here. And across the table from me to receive the energy from that big woohoo is Animal World's production engineer, Mike Roberge. Morning, Mike.
Morning, Martha. You just about knocked me over with that.
Woohoo!
Whoa, whoa, whoa. My knees are buckling.
Well, yeah,
I could be going down.
The first thing I got to tell you is that I've only been taking a Sunday. I have done this show for so long, 17 years. And I never missed a show, you know, with the rare exception of being preempted or snowed out in 2008.
Right.
And to not be here for a week, it feels like forever that I haven't been here.
Yeah, you get off your rhythm.
And then you combine that with the week we had or more to the 10 days, last 10 days. Well, we will get me started here in just a moment because we have to talk about it. But anyway, I first got to say that I'm so delighted to be here, and the fact that I could get here without a problem, which was up until yesterday, was in question. And at any rate, I'm able to be here, and Mike is here. We are live.
Yes, we are.
And the city's still here.
Yes.
Now, it's pretty clogged. It's pretty foggy. Well, it's cloudy. And gray. It
right.
seems darker than
but,
it usually
But again,
is.
So much better than the previous few
It could be a whole lot worse. Yeah, but we can see the city of Seattle, but no Olympics or anything.
And hardly any snow remains. Just pockets of like little ice.
Well, the roads are completely clear and wet now because it's kind of raining outside here. But they're clear. They're wet. Now, there is snow off to the side. Now, of course, because I just drove down from Monroe to Factoria. But I'll have to tell you, it be dirty snow.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I got to tell you one thing. I thought on Friday I had a meeting downtown and then up on Capitol Hill, and it was so sloshed. There was so much standing water. I thought, wow, we're going to have some major urban flooding here. And you know what?
It didn't kind of pan out.
It didn't really happen. I think yesterday I noticed we had a little bit of sun come out and the rain stopped early morning.
Yeah,
I think that made a huge difference.
The amount
difference.
Of rain that they had been predicting didn't actually come to fruition.
It was orderly melt off.
Yeah. Well, you can be that, you know, there were a lot of us praying and doing what we could to deal with all of that. But anyway, before we get into our experiences in the snow and all that sort of thing, I've got to fill you in on what's going on today because I was able to get in. However, my scheduled guests, which I'm very disappointed to tell you that Helen and Bill Thayer, adventure travelers, and of course you all know, you regulars out there, you've been listening to them on Animal World since our Como days, and they are probably of everyone, all our guests overall, all considered for all the years our most popular guests on Animal World. Now the only one that Yeah, there's some other, there's a handful. Dr. Al Pluckner, of course, is right up there. Kim Miller, of course, right up there. But Helen and Bill probably are overall with everyone the most popular guests. Well, I got to tell you, they live in Snohomish. They are local. They live in Snohomish, and they're about, I was trying to remember how long it took me to drive to drive to their place. They are probably about a 30 to 40 minute drive north, a little northeast of me, out where I am, and I had a foot and a half of snow, or a little more. Well, they're northeast, they're higher elevation, and they actually live being adventure travelers and mountain climbers and going to the North Pole and South Pole and all that kind of stuff. They live, I would, it's like they live on a mountain, but it's really like foothills. But they're on the side of a hill. They're their property. They have acreage, but they're on the side of a hill, and so that their driveway is probably, I don't know, 300 feet or more up, you know, straight up. It might be longer than that, but their driveway is not fun in the summer.
Yeah, sometimes I guess they would have snow up on top and nothing down below.
Well,
not
so
this week.
So the problem is they are still snowed in, and they're snowed in. They're in their 80s, for heaven's sakes, and bless their heart. They're because of their athleticism and what they do and what they've always done, they can handle this sort of thing. They live with Helen's mother lives with them, and she's in her 90s somewhere. Great genes these people have. But during the snowstorm, they've also were out of power for like 4 or 5 days. No phones, no internet, that sort of thing. They just got their power back yesterday, and got phones and internet, but. During the storm, a big, huge limb fell down and smushed their donkey's shelter down flat to the ground. Now, fortunately, the donkey wasn't in the shelter at the time, so the donkey's okay, but the shelter was totally smashed. So not only are they having to, you know, remove that limb, rebuild the donkey shelter, and deal with everybody else after... and of course, talking to Helen, I said, well, you know, you do have a wood burning stove, right? And she said, yeah, and that's how we're, you know, keeping warm, you know, and all the cats and dogs, you know, congealing around the stove, and that's how we're cooking. And then she says, Mike, she says, but you know, that's fun. Because she's used to celebrating her 60th birthday at the South Pole with a frozen cupcake. You know, I mean, to them, to have a house. And a wood-burning stove they could cook on. And
sure.
They just got back from 900 miles in the Sahara Desert.
And I think a good attitude makes all the difference in the world.
Well, exactly. So
it'll make your day or ruin your day.
But the problem was, you know, they can ski and walk to pretty much anywhere or climb to anywhere, but not all the way down here to the studio. And so they're having to rebuild. They're rebuilding the donkey shelter. Well, they had to move it and rebuild it. And by the way, Helen had some great advice and has gotten me thinking. The limb, the big limb that fell on their donkey shelter was off a big leaf maple. And Helen could not stress enough that big leaf maple trees, for whatever reason, when they get huge and older, they get fairly fragile. And I have to say, I lost a number of limbs from trees on my property because I'm surrounded. My property is surrounded in huge trees, you know, at least 100 feet tall. I've got lots of cedars, lots of hemlocks, and I do have big leaf maple. And the biggest limb that came down was off a big leaf maple. So Helen's advice is, don't build anything underneath a big leaf maple tree. And if you've got anything underneath a big leaf maple tree, consider, you know, trimming the tree or whatever, because you don't want to deal with what they're dealing with. So I've been out there since I talked to Helen a day or so ago and looking at my big leaf maple thinking, well, okay, that's about the size of what they said came down and smoked. You know, if that were to, where would it go? My fire pit. So anyway, I'm looking at that tree. It says it's fine, and the limb, most of the limbs, the limbs if they fell, would be okay. But that's just a FYI for y'all.
Yeah, so, and a lot of folks are in that boat because that has created the bulk of our power outages is down trees and limbs.
Yeah, and then once they got the donkey shelter rebuilt, then they have to dig out their driveway.
Yikes.
You know, like me, I mean, 300-400 feet or more of uphill driveway. I'm like, no, I would have never bought that property to begin with.
Yeah, well,
no way.
Maybe we got a listener or two out there with a little blade in the front of their pickup truck that could help them out. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, Helen did say that once they're able to get out, they are going to go spend the big bucks and get a major snowblower.
Well, so a snowblower is probably a good idea, but I'd get something that had a blade in front of like a four-wheel.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know how, because you live in what, the Green Lake area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm out technically in Monroe, but I'm northeast of Monroe and I'm closer to Salton than I am in Monroe. And I'm up on a hill and flat where I am, but up on a hill. And so I'm high and dry. That's good. I had quite an experience. And last week, of course, I wasn't here to do the show live because the purpose of that, of me having Kevin and Kim do the show, and by the way, Kevin and Kim, great show last week. How would I know? Well, that's because the plan didn't quite work the way it was supposed to work. And the idea is that Kevin and Kim are doing the show once a month for me so that I could go to Ananda Temple on Sunday for church, you know, for services once a month. Well, that didn't happen because I was snowed in since last Saturday. And I have to say that before I tell you my experience, I have to say that it could have been so much worse. And that through it all, I felt completely blessed and divinely protected through all of this, because like I said, it could have been so much worse. And I listened. Yay! I don't always listen to that, but you know, the week before last week, when everybody was talking about, we could have some snow, but you know how they were all saying, it's going to be a little snow, but it's not going to be that big a deal, and it's going to go away right away, and all that sort of stuff. Fortunately, I didn't listen to that. I listened to my intuition. And so a week ago Thursday, I did make a point of going to town and running all my errands and stocking up on groceries and stuff. Real good thing I did.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Kevin and Kim were set up to do the show on Sunday. Well, Saturday, it started snowing.
But not here.
Well, not here.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
But it started snowing, and it was snowing to beat the band. And I quickly realized that maybe I didn't have Kim and Kevin scheduled to do the show for another reason. Maybe it was because I was going to be snowed in. And I had a little chat with Spirit at the time, and I actually said, you know, weather angels are usually pretty good at changing things, you know, if you ask and all that kind of stuff. But I actually said, because my sense was, is there was so much snow coming in, they couldn't just eradicate it all. It had to go somewhere. So I kind of said, well, you know, if there's just so much snow that it has to go somewhere, I'm willing to take the hit so that Mike and Kevin and Kim can get to the studio. So if you got to dump it all up here, I'm willing to take the hit. Well, careful what you ask for, folks, because I'll tell you what, it came down and it came down and it came down and it came down. And I don't remember if you told me the weekend before, I had had, when, remember we had all the winds?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all of that? I had 8 power outages in 3 days. And they started Saturday night during the night. It was, you know, there was a power outage the night before the last show that Animal World I did. And then I had eight over the next 2 days. Never out for more than 1 to 3 hours at a time, but 8 power outages, and that hasn't happened anyway. So that started having Saturday, I lost my power. Saturday night, I lost my power. I was completely snowed in. then I found out, bless her heart, I mean, Kevin and Kim did a great job with the show last weekend, but bless her heart, Kim, when I talked to her, them, when I had power, I could have phones, I made phone calls. When I talked to them on Saturday, I had trouble getting a hold of Kim. And when I did, I found out that she was really sick.
Yeah.
Really sick. Well, she did a great job of bucking up and, you know, pulling up her big girl pants and getting to the studio and doing the show. But it was really dicey as to whether or not she was going to actually be able to do the show. Fortunately, that all worked out, and I had power. So instead of being at Temple Sunday morning, I was home listening to the stream of Animal World. And I was able to hear... excuse me, the first 2 hours, because when you started to run the tip at 11 o'clock, I lost my power again. So I didn't hear the last hour of the show, and to tell you the truth, I was so busy dealing with snow and power outages the rest of the week, I still haven't caught up with the last hour of last week's show. But the first 2 hours were fabulous, and I really thank Kevin and Kim for being here. But I'll have to tell you, bye. It just kept snowing and kept snowing and kept snowing. And by the end of the weekend, I had a foot of snow. And I've never had a foot of snow there before. And, you know, I lived a mile away for 13 years. And maybe in all that 13 years, maybe once or twice, you know, I had a foot or more of snow. But it was very unusual. But anyway, I had a foot of snow. And limbs were coming down, power outages on and off. Thank goodness. Now, I do have a generator. It's wired in. I put that on my list of things I had to have before I moved back out to that area. I do have that. Fortunately, I did not have to use it because I think the longest power outage I had during the week was probably along the lines of 6-7 hours, and I was able to make do, you know, during that time. I do have a pellet stove, which is wonderful for warming the house, but you need power for that to run. It's not like having a wood stove. But I decided, since I do have a generator, if I have to, and I could plug in the pellet stove, I prefer my pellet stove over a wood-burning stove, just so I don't have to deal with the wood and all of that.
Wood's a chore.
It is. It is. Well, pellets are a chore too.
Yeah.
But... it's easier to pack around and deal with pellets than it is to deal with wood.
Absolutely.
So, but I have to say, by the time I had a foot of snow and limbs were coming down, it was getting pretty dicey up there. And I was out, this is how blessed I was during the week. I was out at my driveway, I was, you know, moving limbs and assessing the situation, thinking, when will I ever be able to get out of here again? Because, you know, I drive a little mini, and I know how to drive in the snow. I'm good at driving in the snow. I opt not to drive in the snow because a lot of other people don't know how to drive in the snow. But, you know, the mini's small. And it bottoms out. And, you know, it gets to the point where it's just too darn deep. Well, the reason I was out at the road was because a girl who didn't know how to drive in the snow and had a low-riding kind of sports car was driving on my road. And the car was so low that it was acting like a snow plow, and it was plowing snow, and pretty soon she got stuck. And then when she tried to back up, it pulled her bumper halfway off, and so she was stuck out there in the road. And I went out to see if she needed some help, and some guy came out, and he said, when they needed a screwdriver to take her bumper off. So I went back to my house, got a screwdriver, got all that taken care of. And then I'm still out there, and I hear this noise. And a neighbor from way back down the private road next to me comes down with a tractor to clear their private road. So, you know, that little voice in my head said, well, go talk to that guy. So I trounced through the foot or so of snow down and talked to this guy on the tractor and heard his whole story about, you know, he's been in the neighborhood for more than 20 years and how everybody and all that, da, 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 da. And I told him my story of the farm and my dad and yada, yada. So all of a sudden I'm part of the gang, and bless his heart, the next day he came out with his tractor and he plowed my driveway.
That's what you need.
bless his heart.
Makes
no,
it so much
I had to
easier.
Do some shoveling around the garage and
sure.
stuff to make, but because the biggest part, not only was there a foot of snow on the driveway, but a snowplow actually came down my road. This was like on Tuesday, Wednesday. And you know how snowplows work, especially when you're in the country and driveways are a long way apart. Well, they plow the road real nice. But I'm not real wild about snowplows out, you know, in my neighborhood. Because when they get to your driveway, all the excess snow spills out.
Your driveway doesn't matter.
So you end up with a berm
That's right.
at the road.
That you get to dig
so
out.
So I had not only a foot of snow on the driveway, but then like a 2-foot berm at the driveway. So he came, he cleared all the driveway, I shoveled, everything was good.
Well, and like you said earlier, it could have been much worse. I mean, look
at those. That's only half the story, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Because this was only like Tuesday.
All right. There's more.
Yeah. It kept snowing. And it kept snowing. And it kept snowing. So I had a nice clear driveway for a while until it snowed about another half a foot to 3/4 of a foot. I ended up with somewhere between 1.5 and 2 feet of snow overall. A foot and a half good solid on the ground everywhere that wasn't under a tree. And so the driveway was covered again, but this was 6 inches of snow. And then before then, probably by about Friday when it was melting, the snowplow came again, set up another big 2-foot berm at my driveway. So I was hoping it would all melt, and with the powers on and off, the limbs coming down, all that sort of stuff, I was still good. But I decided on Friday, I didn't really have to leave to go, you know, stock up, but it would be a good idea to do that. And something said, don't wait till Saturday, get out today. So I waited till later afternoon, went to get out, got out to the car. My battery's dead. So now I can't go anywhere even if I want to. And I have a brand new battery because this happened, you know, 6 months ago. And I got a brand new battery.
Hmm. Do you have a manual transmission in your car?
Yes.
So you could jump start it.
Oh, well, I could, yeah, jump start it. Yeah. Well, yeah, it has to be jump started. But, you know, you need somebody there to jump start. You need another battery.
I meant compression start. Just push it and try to get some compression by popping it into gear.
Well, yeah, but you sort of need like a hill to do that.
Oh, I thought you had a hill.
Well, not close to the house.
Oh, okay.
And remember, I've still got 6 inches of snow in the driveway. Well, slush now. And a 2-foot berm at the curb. Foot and a half now, maybe, because some of it's melted. So I call AAA, and they say, well, gee, you know, we're not sending anybody out now, unless you're dying or blocking in the middle of. Okay, but if you can find somebody local, you know, call them. And I said, well, you know, I really don't have to get out today. But so that was the good news, that I found out on Friday I had a dead battery. So I called the people, Grandpa's Towing, and bless their hearts, because they had come last year, replaced the battery. They were really nice. They came out on Saturday, late morning, checked. They got the car started, and bless their hearts, they gave me a brand new battery for free, because this was already a pretty new battery. And then I was able to get out yesterday, and I way stocked up again. All is good. And with their big tow truck, they were able to smash down enough of the berm at the end of my driveway that the Mini could drive through it, because it really does drive well. It's front-wheel drive, drives good in the snow. So that's my story. So this morning, the worst thing of getting here was my own driveway still, because it's slushy and there's still that berm at the end of the driveway, but I have to make sure nobody's coming on the road so I can get a running start at it to get through it.
You want to keep moving. Once you get going, you want to keep moving. And like I said, it could have been worse. We still have, 150,000 Puget Sound Energy customers
without power. That's what I was watching on the news
last
night. Yeah, there's still a lot of people without power.
Down in South Thurston County and Lewis County, they had over 2 feet of snow.
As hard as it was, it could have been a lot worse. I am very grateful that it wasn't worse than it was. Now, I've got a mess to clean up, you know, and some limbs down, but they're out of the way because I hauled them all out, well, most of them out. And all the things considered, I am happy it was not worse. And I hope everyone that's out of power gets their power back soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently we've called in troops from all over the place.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
To, you know, power, and they're working as hard as they can. But I was pretty shocked last night watching the news that there are many people that they aren't predicting they'll get their power back until towards the end of next week.
Yeah.
It's seems, like,
seems
wow.
incredible, but that's how widespread the, primarily the ice, but certainly the snow load on the limbs were too.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Lots of down trees.
Yeah, and like you said, there, there was a house fire in the Miramont area, and the fire trucks couldn't get up the hills to save the house.
That's just awful.
I saw a neighborhood where it had been out of power for 4 days, and some vandals come in and were starting to rob the houses, and so the people felt like they couldn't leave to go to hotels because their houses would be robbed. I mean, what are people thinking? Oh, they're apparently not.
I don't think they are.
Well, maybe they're thinking, but their hearts are closed.
Not very well.
But whatever. So, anyway, I hope you all fared at least as well as I did. And I just, that's why I'm woohoo, and I'm so glad to be here. And the worst of this is over, and that the horrible flooding didn't follow it up that they had predicted, which is, you know, I suppose maybe we're not through all of that yet because they were predicting more rain and all of that. But at least so far. But now they're talking about more winds, but let's hope that things stay calm. And
yeah, it's supposed to be windy today, and then it's supposed to die down. So if we can just get through today, and part of the problems with winds, particularly gusty winds, is the ground is so saturated right now that it doesn't take much to, you know, bring another tree down. So a lot of the power company's challenges were to get some power restored, only to have a tree come down after they were done. And put, you know, get
oh, I know
put
how
it back
frustrating would that be?
Oh,
you know, you've worked for
yeah.
hours through the night to get the power back up. You know, you turn your backs and bam, another tree comes down and takes it all out again.
Yeah,
bless
well,
their
like,
hearts.
Like you said, a big thanks go out to all those guys and gals who are just working their buns off.
Yeah,
you know, long
some
days.
Some of them were doing 24-hour shifts, and they've come from ever and forever and long distances and worked through the night and all of that. Bless their hearts. But I got to tell you, I really appreciate Snohomish County. I think our PUD is better at power outages. Our the county road maintenance are much better at road maintenance than King. Of course, they're used to having more snow and worse weather because we're in the convergence zone. But I'll tell you what, they do one heck of a great job.
Yeah.
Now, if they just quit filling up my driveway with snow, I'd be good. Oh, but I actually, what happened to, you know, U.S. mail, you know, through rain, sleet, you know, I don't think that motto applies anymore. Because I was like, Monday and Tuesday, I didn't get any newspaper, I didn't get any mail. It was that bad.
Well, again.
But, I'm not complaining, I'm saying I totally understood. But, you know, it used to be, we'll get there no matter what.
Yeah. And I guess what one of my thoughts, too, on as the weather started to worsen in town, people, for the most part, stayed off the streets. And that's what you got to do. When the weather's that bad.
Oh, and did you watch the films of people on Queen Anne Hill and sliding down it's like, you know, we were talking about this before the year. I mean, does stupidity count? I mean, come on, folks. Stay home.
Well,
you know,
that was the problem. They stayed home and had too much time on their hands. You get a little stir crazy.
Get out there.
And then you go start jumping. Doing ski jumps. Do you see the ski jumps?
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, man. Do you see that one guy do the backflip off the ski? It's like, holy mackerel. I guess his time wasn't up, though, because he was successful. But, my goodness, use your brains, people. It's amazing. So, anyway, now, before we take care of our advertisers and sponsors, let me tell you what we are going to do today, since Helen and Bill are digging out and repairing the donkey shed. I decided instead that I'm going to do an impromptu class here on the air, which I have never done exactly this before on the air. We talk about this stuff in bits and pieces, but I'm going to share with you, and I thought it was particularly appropriate since Mike has only been doing the show with me now for, 3 months or something, and that's not very long considering 17 years and all that sort of stuff, and he doesn't know all this stuff, so figured that he'll be my primary student with the rest of you, and I am going to do an impromptu class on the basics of interspecies telepathic and empathetic communication with animals, and also my human-to-animal transference. So the two biggest keys to resolving behavior training and healing problems with your animal friends and I'm going to teach you how to do it and what it's all about, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. Now, before we get to that, I've got a bunch, some follow up from last week, some follow up in general, and I've got a little bit of animals in the news. But the good news on that is the majority of the animals in the news is good news. Now the bad news is pretty strange, but the good news is good, and then we will get into, we will do communicating with animals first. And then we will do the human-to-animal transference. If you have questions while I'm putting out the information, if you'd email, that would be great, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And then if I can do an expedient job of getting through the material, and that's really questionable because I want you to understand that both of these subjects, they're different subjects, communicating with animals, the human-to-animal transference, both of those subjects, when I teach a formal class, Mike, are three-hour classes.
Okay. Is there going to be a test? You said I'm going to be the principal student here. Do I need to, like, take notes?
Well, that's up to you. Okay. Your test is going to be as the weeks, the months, the years progress, and whether or not you get it. But it's nice that you're here, and at least you participate in the show, and you're interested enough so that you can listen, so that if I'm not making myself clear, or if it's more questions, you can jump in and ask those things.
I will do that.
And I figure you're great to do that, because you are an intelligent communicator. But you also don't know anything about this stuff, really.
That part is true.
Yeah.
But open to listen and to learn.
Yeah, so there we go. That's all that's necessary. And so that is where we're headed, and I would imagine that we're going to have fun with all of this stuff. So we will, at this point, do the most important part of the show, and that's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Without them, there's no us. So please listen, pay attention, support them, thank them for supporting Animal World. And we continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You'll find me there next week because I got to stock up. It's been so long with the snow. At any rate, you can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to.
Hello.
Oh, Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with me here on Animal World. I'm here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And I don't know about you, but I am delighted to be here and back in the saddle again. Woo-hoo. I missed y'all. And I do have some follow-up here, and it's not just news stuff. I want to follow up on last week's show. Now, y'all know, you regulars, that Kevin McDonald, who used to host Positive Talk here on Alternative Talk, co-hosts with my friend and colleague, she's become my friend and colleague over the years since I've been here at KKNW, Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive, that they're stepping in for me now once a month. So hopefully I can eventually go to Temple. But they covered the bases, me being snowed in. But that allowed me to listen. I only heard the first 2 hours of the show because then I lost my power again. But I think that they did an excellent job, as they always do. And, of course, every time they do the show, they get better and tighter with all that sort of stuff. But, Mike, I got to tell you, there was one caller that blew me away.
Which one was that?
Chad the Flaming Atheist, in his words.
Right.
Do you remember that call?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Well, I was listening to that, and I was thinking, oh, why am I not there? I would be all over that guy like white on rice. I'm a teaser, you guys. You guys know that. And I'd have been on him in a second with Chad, because he's, you know, I'm a flaming atheist. So is my dad. And I would think, where the heck did you come from? Have you not listened to this show? I mean, I don't imagine that a lot of flaming atheists listen to Animal World, not with what, you know, the spiritual stuff that I do and all of that sort of thing. I'm thinking, where the heck did he come from? So I, first of all, I wanted to know, was he like just channel surfing? Had he heard about Kim and her being a me or whatever? And so I was thinking, and that, boy, I'd have been all over him just teasing his butt. And then after I calmed down after the show and I was thinking about that, that I have to mention this on the air. Well, you know, I do get spoken to by the masters and my guru, Yogananda, and he came in and said, now, well, hold on a minute. You're kind of missing the point here. And so after a little chat with Spirit, what I realized was, what a golden opportunity. That when you, if you remember the call, I mean, he, by his own labeling, he called himself a flaming atheist, but yet he had called Animal World to speak with Kim Miller Medium, and he wanted to talk to his deceased father on the other side, who he also said was a flaming atheist. And the first question he asked was, want to know if my dad's changed his mind about anything. He didn't say anything about being an atheist and all of that. Now, Kim was able to connect, but not clearly. But the first thing she says is, well, he says he's changed his mind about some things, but not others. And then he's kind of said, and so Kim sort of asked why or whatever for a little more detail. And he said, well, sort of answered the question. If you can talk to him, I guess that, you know, he's changed his mind on some stuff and da 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 da. But the point I want to make here is that I am just so glad, Chad, and I hope you're listening. If you called in, and the fact that he did call in, and he wasn't angry. He wasn't calling to yell at us and beat us up and tell us we were nuts and didn't know what we were doing. He was actually, it felt to me, like a very sincere request to see if she could talk to his dad. Which she could, but like I said, it wasn't totally open because she felt both of them were blocking it. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of say that to A, if by chance, Chad, you weren't a fluke and just tuning in there and you happen to be listening now, or if anybody out there knows Chad, the flaming atheist, I want to thank him for calling, and I want to invite him to call again, because here's the opportunity I would like. Because he seems to be able to discuss this stuff just fine, and he's not angry, and he doesn't seem to be judgmental or whatever. I would love for Chad to call back in the second Sunday of the month, which the second Sunday of February, Robin and Martha Sunday, because Robin communicates, you know, as a medium on a whole different level. And we usually don't take one-on-one calls for Robin when she does Animal World. We're talking more about animal stuff, but I would make an exception for this. And if you, Chad, if you are listening or someone you know can talk to you, Chad, and let you know, I would invite you to call on a Robin and Martha Sunday, and we will do a one-on-one with you, because I would love to tune in to your dad. And wouldn't you just love to speak with a flaming atheist that's now on the other side and find out where he is and what his experience has been and how has this affected him? And can you be on the other side and still not believe in God? You know, because he said he changed his mind about some things but not others, but we don't really know what. And so anyway, I just got all excited. I want Chaz to call back.
Yeah, I thought it was a great phone call. And for other reasons, too, I think it's always great to get discourse and to hear different and opposing viewpoints. So, like I said, when I'm all ears, I am. I like to hear what everybody has to say.
Yeah,
I may not necessarily agree, but yeah. I want to hear opposing and different viewpoints.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really important.
So if you know Chad, or if Chad, if you're listening, I want you to mark your calendar for the second Sunday of February. I really, really, really want you to call back in so that we can tune in and talk to you and talk to your dad. I think it would be enlightening for all of us.
Yeah, that's February 12th.
February 12th, yeah.
Second Sunday of the month.
Because I'll make an exception just for you. And I'm so glad you were listening. And thank you for calling.
Yeah.
And I think that takes some guts for someone, you know, that's going against their beliefs. And obviously, you know,
we're all exploring one way or the other.
All right. Now, and then I want to tell you that I've been watching the new series of shows that is now no longer in reruns and is back on the air, which is My Cat from Hell on Animal Planet. The new episodes air Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I missed the first week. And I haven't been able to find the new shows on demand, and I don't know if I'm just messing up the detail or what. But last week and last night, and oh my gosh, Jason Galaxy, the feline behavior therapist that does the show, is so fabulous. I'm more in love with this guy all the time, and loved the show last night, and I loved it so much that he's starting to incorporate some of the other things that I teach, and it's actually going to apply to the classes, the communication and the human-to-animal transference that I'm gonna teach you today. So I can't wait to get into all of that. But if you aren't watching My Cat from Hell on Animal Planet, Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, they run the previous week's show at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. It is a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous show. There you go. All right. So in the follow-up in the news department. And it's kind of amazing. It's been 2 weeks, and there actually hasn't been all that much animals in the news. But the first thing was from Northwest Saturday, and just a photograph of some of our animals at the zoo, because apparently there was so much snow and stuff, Mike, that even Woodland Park Zoo had to close for a few days.
That's my neighborhood. I can speak yeah. for that.
And so, but there's some great pictures from yesterday's Seattle Times of the wolves, Bamboo the elephant. Unfortunately for the elephants, with the temperatures, it means that they had to be locked in their barn for at least 17 hours a day, which is not good, but that happens this time of the year anyway. A penguin and I don't know, did you see the photographs?
Actually, I didn't.
Oh, well, I'm here. You get to look at
I usually look at the paper online. Don't often get to see the printed version.
They don't have the photos in
not,
the
not always. And I have a tendency to sort of scan headlines. Headlines will usually grab my attention before a picture will, but these are kind of interesting. Yeah, and there is a lot of snow.
All right, now this is a follow-up item. Remember when Ann Gordon was here and her Panamanian tribesman husband, Oatneal, and by the way, it's not Oatmeal, it's Oatneal, O-T-N-I-E-L. Some of our listeners thought his name was Oatmeal, and I neglected to clarify the spelling of his name. But anyway, when Ann Gordon was here, who does the whale trips and talking with the whales and dolphins and the dolphin healing and all that sort of stuff, she was saying that the next meeting of the International Whaling Commission is going to be in Panama. Well, there's a new proposal. Hoping to defuse a 30-year feud over whale hunting, three academics are making an audacious proposal. The world should put a price on killing whales and allow conservationists and whalers alike to bid on the right to take them. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to seattletimes.com or just search online, Academics Propose Bidding System for Whaling. It's interesting. I think I'm going to save this when Robin and I tune into stuff, and we'll see if that approach might work. They say that even though it would be making some whale hunting legal, it would actually cut down on the numbers that are illegally taken by the three countries that won't go along with the moratorium on whale killing. Now, this one, Mike?
What?
I'm saving this one, too. Bird flu scientists to pause research. That's the good news part of this. But what they're doing, I mean, the scientists who altered a deadly flu virus, and this is the bird flu, the H5N1 virus that's so bad, the scientists who altered a deadly flu virus, get this, to make it more contagious, have agreed to suspend their research for 60 days to give other researchers around the world time to discuss the work and determine the best way to proceed. Well, thank goodness they're suspending for 60 days. But I read this whole article, and you've got the bird flu, which is, when humans catch it, it is fatal. Fortunately, they don't really pass it on to other humans. But they're experimenting with this virus to make it more contagious? Mike, what on earth are they thinking?
Well, they're not telling us.
It
doesn't make any sense.
I was dumbfounded. And then they're saying, well, you know, gee, this could be dangerous because what if countries got a hold of it and all this kind of stuff that wanted to wipe everybody? It's like, why? Ugh. It's like, do you guys have too much time on your hands? You know, what happened to curing cancer and doing all this other kind of stuff?
Don't know what to tell you. Stranger than truth.
All right, I got a bunch of news alerts this week from the Humane Society about emergency pet and disaster stuff. The biggest thing of all of that, you know, and taking care of animals in the cold weather, is that I want to remind you that during times of like power outages or other kinds of, you know, flooding, any kind of disaster sort of thing, the Red Cross will not let you come with your pets unless they're service animals. But the Humane Society, right close to us, Mike, here in Melbourne, will take in your animals and board them for free.
I did not know that.
Yes. And so this, like if you've got birds that and you don't have any power and no heat and they can't get good and all that kind of stuff, you can take them to the animal, the Humane Society. Or, you know, if you're in trouble for whatever reason in storms or disasters or anything like this, Humane Society will, you know, temporarily board your animal friends for free. So how cool is that?
Very cool.
All right. And so that kind of wraps up the news roll. We just are left with the good stuff. So if Mike is ready, there we go. We could use some of this today.
Don't see it happening. Ooh. But we can always hope. We had a nice day yesterday.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I have to say, it was drop-dead spectacularly gorgeous. I mean, at the height of the snow at my place, a foot and a half of snow, everything covered, it was absolutely, totally beautiful. But there was no sun. Okay. In the good news, the first is just a cute photograph, duckling the snowflakes. And that's ducks flying onto a dock at Lake Sammamish on Sunday afternoon, find their footing in a fresh coat of snow that covered much of the region. If you can pull that out of the Seattle Times. Here you go, Mike. Take a look at that. I just thought it was a really cool photograph.
I like it.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? So even the ducks fly in the snow. All right, victory for Sumatran tigers. And this is great news. And this is coming from Greenpeace. We won another huge victory for Sumatran tigers and the Indonesian rainforest they call home. Now, why isn't this in good news? Well, kind of because there's an after of the fact. But thanks to the public's hard work, Kroger, which was previously the largest seller of Asia pulp and paper, APP, consumer tissue products in the U.S., has put out a public statement saying it will stop sourcing from APP. They only launched this campaign in October, and within 5 days, over 50,000 people had joined, you know, and signed the petition. It's clear that Kroger got the message. Now, the reason that they are, that they protested with Kroger and this Asian pulp and paper, APP, is because APP sources from illegal rainforest destruction. And that's not a good thing. So the bad news is that APP still wants to sell tissue linked to rainforest destruction here in the States, even after losing its largest customer. It's still refusing to take the simple steps needed to solve this problem, and there are still major retailers in the country selling APP products. Kmart is the largest. So, folks, if you care about the rainforest, which help keep the earth stable, and start speaking up and looking for the source of your tissue. And if you shop at Kmart, tell them, get rid of APP. Force them to change what they're doing. But part of that was good. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Cattle branding may be put out to pasture. Well, talk about, an abusive and painful thing for animals. I mean, there's no anesthetic for cows and, you know, horses and animals that are branded. It's stick that branding iron in the fire and then
So unnecessary.
One of the West's most enduring symbols is fading like a red-hot branding iron cools to ash and gray. Yay! With concerns over disease and global trade trumping tradition, federal regulators want ranchers to swap the old-fashioned cattle brand for electronic ear tags to identify livestock quickly and reliably. Now, nowhere is it mentioned because of the cruelty to the animals, but I don't care, I'll take it anyway. Ranchers accept the inevitability, but lament the passing of a ritual older than America. The smell of trampled sagebrush and burned hide. Oh, come on, give me a break. This is where, sometimes traditions are not worth continuing. It's time to let them go. Quote, cowboys are said to ride for the brand. It's hard to imagine anyone riding for an ear tag. Well, cowboys, buck up, pull up your big boy pants, your cowboy pants, and get with the program. We are beyond needing to brand animals. It hurts, and it's not a reliable way of tracking and identifying. So
maybe we should brand cowboys.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I'm just kidding.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy. Remember there, that?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the good news. Extinct tortoises may still be roaming a Galapagos island. A giant tortoise species believed to be extinct for more than 150 years may be alive and well, a genetic survey has revealed. Blood sampling of more than 1,600 tortoises on the largest Galapagos island revealed that about 84 had at least one purebred parent from the supposedly extinct species, which once lived at the other end of the archipelago. Researchers hope they can find these tortoises in the flesh, breed them, and then release them onto Florania Island, their native home. And that study was published this week in Journal Current Biology. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
At least 84 of them are still making babies. Speaking of that, still here, scientists working in the Indonesian jungle have rediscovered a monkey that had been thought extinct. They found the Miller's grizzled langur in a forest on the eastern tip of Borneo Island, an area well outside its previously recorded home range. The next step will be returning to the Wea Forest to try to find out how many grizzly langurs there are, according to the scientists who published their findings in the American Journal of Primatology on Friday. Pretty cool. Here's another good news. Thanks to a strong conservation and law enforcement efforts, not a single rhino was killed by poachers in Nepal, the first such year in 29 years.
I didn't realize they even had rhinoceros in Nepal.
Well, they did.
I'll be darned.
They do. And
good.
They've been poaching them.
Yeah.
Conservationists in the Himalayan nation celebrated at Chitwan National Park, where the vast majority of the country's 534 rhinos reside. Quote, it's a testament to the efforts of the government of Nepal, WWF, and many partners, explained Barney Long, Asian species expert at WWF, and that's the World Wildlife Federation. We hope the new year will bring additional good news from other countries like South Africa as they continue to crack down on rhino poaching. Okay, and then I put in the best good news about animals slot. The fact that they're strutting their stuff before the performance, and that would be the horses from the performance Cavalia, which is currently going on at Marymore Park. And now, I don't know if they had to cancel on Wednesday, if they were able to do the show or not. I didn't hear. Probably not with all the snow and stuff, but who knows. Anyway, I had thought they were only here for a weekend, but their performances are on Wednesday through mid-February.
Wow, that was different than what we looked up
a couple
weeks ago.
Right, you guys looked at last week, because I had sent asked Ken, you know, anyway, you guys talked about it last week. But, so they're here running on Wednesday through mid-February. So I am going to see if I can't figure out how to get to this performance. I saw it in Kent when they were here before, but that was a number of years ago, and apparently the performance has changed and grown since then. Well, it was spectacular then. I can't imagine that it could be any better.
Maybe we should try to get him on the show.
It would be great to do that. I'd like to get them on the show. I'd actually like to get this Jason Galaxy from My Cat from Hell from Animal Planet on. I love that guy. I love him. And I love Cavalia, and I rarely go to stuff, and I rarely go to animal stuff. But this is spectacular. Don't be surprised. If you go, I'll be there. I'm going to see if I can't get there by February 18th. So there you go. That wraps up all of that. We are good to go here. We're going to run our winter tip just because of the weather and it's continuing and all that sort of stuff. Then we will be back and we're going to school. So get your pen and papers handy or get your computers ready to record. And of course it will be archived, but our first class in this next hour is going to be communicating with animals with the emphasis on telepathic and empathetic interspecies communication. So stay with me, and then the second, third hour, the human-to-animal transference. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and we continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.